Oh, yes.
Welcome to episode 82 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Jordan as Brent Cassino, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levinstein, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. We're back here with Review Corner, and this time, Brent has to read manga. Let's see how this one turns out. I have a feeling it didn't turn out well. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 82 of Comic Timing. You only had a review corner a couple of episodes ago, but hell, we're behind, so let's catch ourselves up to where we need to be. And I am joined this episode by the co-host, not co-host, co-host, who finds the BCS more interesting than recording. It's Brent Cassino. What's going on, Brent?
Yes, I do, especially since I sat in the basketball arena with 10,000 other Gator fans. And even as Wood commented, he still watched every down of that game and recorded. I don't think it would have been very nice to you guys or the listeners if I'm screaming into the cell phone as everyone goes, "Aah!"
Actually, I would have liked it better if you were like back at the dorm room or something, like actually watching it while we were recording, and then like I'm in the middle of a sentence, and then all of a sudden I hear in the background, "No! What the fuck was that?"
We had some moments.
But congratulations on your victory, sir. I might not follow college football, but I know it was a big achievement.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Right. And Superman returns next season. That's what they call him, and that's what the paper said on Monday after he made his announcement.
Oh, yeah?
That was a headline, Superman returns.
Is he still a womanizer?
I don't know.
All right. Still a deadbeat dad?
No.
No. Oh, okay.
Well, it's Tim Tebow here. Tim Tebow is not Brian Singer Superman. He's fucking Chris Reeve Superman.
Well, they say Superman returns, and that's immediately what I think of. Deadbeat right. Dad. I'm sorry. All right.
Well, it's not Brian Singer Superman. Whoa, they have a Shazam t-shirt on Heroes Corner?
And this episode of Comic Timing is brought to you, thank you for the segue, the accidental segue, for Heroes Corner at heroescorner.com. Was that even intentional, man, or did you just like notice it?
No, they have these t-shirt scrolls now on the new snazzy website they got, and I'm just not, you know, I'm listening to you, and then this red t-shirt scrolls by, and it's the Shazam symbol, right, the lightning bolt or whatever, yeah. But it also has, like, the little crossover with the buttons on it.
Oh, sweet.
So it looks like you could be Shazam. I was like, that's neat.
I really like the Black Adam tee.
And I didn't see it before.
Yeah, there's a Black Adam tee. I think it's the cover from the the Villains or whatever it was issue that's coming up.
You think these people in the Free Comic Book Day hoodies are Sam or Bob?
It's certainly a possibility, but let's talk.
They look pretty young. They look pretty young. I think Sam and Bob are a little bit older.
Wouldn't it be great if like Sam and Bob are actually 18 and 20, and like we find out that we're older than them? Nah, that's not gonna happen. But yeah, Heroes Corner. It has a new site. What do you think of it, Brent?
I think it's fucking great.
Yeah, me too. I mean, they added plenty of features. Most importantly, who has their own page now, suckers?
We do.
Yes, and not only does it have our picks on it with links directly to them, but it also lists all our previous episodes. So if you happen to be listening to this one and you're too lazy to go to your iTunes, you can just get your episodes straight from there. Make life easy for all. And there's basically a new drop-down for the specials and this nice scrolling bar that Brent was talking about with a whole bunch of t-shirts on it right now. And really, it's just a lot more streamlined and a lot more pleasing on the eye than the old one was, I think.
I like the old one, but I like that they got rid of the I like their logo. They got rid of the Batman and Spider-Man, or Superman, Spider-Man thing.
Yeah. Yeah, now it's just a straight-up HC going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And color scheme's nice, too, but all right. We're talking about them, so why don't we talk about our picks for the month? What do you think?
All right, as usual, we're editing this a little bit later than the month was, so we have to edit out the old picks, which was a funny segment, and it's going to be in the back, just like the last Review Corner episode, and I have to put in the new ones. So, DC, we're doing Flash Rebirth number 1. Heroes Corner price, $1. Regular price, $3.99, so that's a 75% off discount you're getting because of us. Marvel, we're doing the Captain America 70th Anniversary Special written by James Robinson. And art, some painting guy, I think. 50% off retail, so the Heroes Corner price is $2, regular price $3.99. Indie, we're doing a pick from Avatar. It's Warren Ellis, finally. Ignition City, number 1. 50% off retail, so the Heroes Corner price is $2. Retail price is $3.99. Back to your regularly scheduled show. Be sure to listen to the original ad segment in the back, because it wasn't as funny as the last one I had to cut out, but it's still kind of humorous, and there's some other crap on it. It's bloopers material. You're going to either love it or hate it. So back to your regularly scheduled episode.
All right. So let's get into this thing, shall we?
Okay. If you say so.
If I say so. No, let's not get into it and bullshit for the rest of the 50 minutes. We're going to be honest. That sound good to you?
All right, well, I mean, if you don't want to get your feelings hurt, we can do
so,
that.
So, we've got Green Arrow, Black Canary, number 15. We've got Secret Invasion, Dark Reign, number 1. And we've got Akihabara at Deep, volume 1. So, yeah, why not? Let's do the whole feelings hurt thing. So, Mr. Cassina.
Can we talk about Dark Reign?
What, you want to put it off?
No. If you want to get into it, let's go.
Let's get into it. Let's get it over with. Akihabara at Deep. What'd you think?
Crap. You owe me $7.
I do not owe you $7, man.
Yes, you do.
Okay, well, what about it was crap?
I let you fly on the Doctor Who one, because that wasn't that bad. It was actually kind of interesting, even though I didn't know what the fuck was going on. This, you owe me $7. You're buying me shit at MegaCon.
What didn't you like about it? Please, enlighten me.
The story, the lack of a complete story, and I don't know, the terminology I didn't understand either.
Well, they had the little stars next to anything that was hard to understand, man.
I don't know what an otaku is.
Okay, an otaku is a nerd.
All right, well, why don't they have a star for that?
Well, I would have
they
thought,
had a star for other things.
You watch Heroes, don't you?
Yeah, but I've never heard.
They've mentioned
before.
Otakus like 700 times because that's what Hero is.
I don't know. It's just crap.
No, okay. What about the plot? You say that there wasn't a full story told.
Only thing I liked about this was the part where they stumbled upon the dirty pictures. That was about it. Mm-hmm. The rest of it didn't understand, and I didn't really care. In fact, it was a chore for me to slog through this thing, not because I was reading it backwards. Mm-hmm. That I got the hang of. at first, it was a little bit rough reading backwards. Yeah. Let me get this straight. So you read, flip to the back of the book like you would normally.
Yes.
Like not like you would normally do, like you would abnormally do if you're an American, and you open up the back cover to see the spoiler, right? Wrong front. That's really the front cover. So anyway, you go from left to right, top. No, you don't. You go from right to left, yes. Top to bottom.
Yes.
Right? So I got that. However, I'm still reading the words in the sentence in the fucking balloon, right, left to right.
Yes.
It's difficult.
How is that difficult?
Because you're telling your eyes to travel and read in a different way and follow the art and the story and direction. However, when you stop at a word balloon, you have to go in reverse. Mm-hmm. You know, two steps forward, one step back. You know, it was very slow going for me, at least the first time. And then I stopped and went and had a drink and got something to eat and came back to it. It was a little bit easier. But adjusting to it, I didn't really care for that.
Was this the first manga you've ever read?
Yes.
Okay.
At least backwards.
Well, that's why it would be disorienting to you. I mean, you totally get the hang of it, man. After you read it, like after you read one, it's basically in you. So I can understand why that was a bit of an issue. I really didn't have that problem when I read my first manga because I'm Jewish, and all Hebrew text is right to left in the first place. So I've been reading right to left since I was like 13. So that wasn't an issue for me, but you're not Jewish, so hey, that wouldn't work for you. But what about the plot didn't work for you? That's what I want to know. I mean, I know you were talking about saying like there wasn't a complete plot. So what was the problem?
I didn't really feel that there was any character development along the way, or any character background or story or anything. I understand it's just volume one, and from what I understand, manga usually tells one big story, and you can't just read one volume to get anything real out of it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of disappointing to me.
Well, okay.
Compared to American comics, you know, like, I mean, you could say that Why the Last Man, 10 volumes, but to tell one big story, but you can pick up a volume and get a story. You don't have to read all 10 necessarily if you don't want to get anything out of it. You know, if somebody says, hey, you should read Why the Last Man, you might like it. Just pick up one volume, whatever one. It's about this guy and he's on a trip. Okay, pick it up. You can tell the black girl is kind of a bitch. You can tell the doctor is kind of upset and doesn't like anybody. You can tell York is lovesick puppy, you know, and you can get a story out of it because they have an adventure every volume. I understand that this is not how book is structured, but I feel kind of ripped off because I feel like I'm 20 minutes into a movie and at the end of the volume.
All right. Well, okay. Now for me, you know, big shocker, I enjoyed it. But, you know, that's because apparently I like this sort of thing and you don't. But let me get into it here. I mean, this is what I got from this thing. You know, it started off, yes, we learn that the main character of this manga is basically going to be Paige. You know, the guy who is the hacker, who was on probation, wasn't allowed near computers or anything, and a maid cafe. You know what a maid cafe is, at least, right?
No.
Okay. Well, a maid cafe is sort of a creation of Japan, which also exists here in certain instances. But it's a gimmick cafe where all the waitresses like wait on you hand and foot. You know, they call you master and sir and that sort of thing, and it makes all the geek nerds happy. You know, that's the way that works there, but. You know, the maid cafe is getting hacked, so he steps into action and he goes and helps them out. You know, like a nice person would. And then he meets.
Oh wait, that was a maid cafe?
Yeah, it was a maid cafe.
What?
Yeah. Where he was stopping to get his drink? That was a maid cafe. They were all dressed like maids. You notice that?
Oh, a maid.
Maid.
I thought you were talking about like a some Japanese word or some shit.
No, maid, as in like. A maid.
I thought it was just some creepy, weird Japanese thing.
No.
Because there's only one maid in there. Okay, two. And then the girl in the cargo army pants.
Yeah, who was still technically a maid at the maid cafe, which is a different variety. But yeah, I mean they're getting hacked. So he steps on in and he helps them out. Meets Akira for the first time. And Akira introduces him to the Akihabara Deep Dudes, and you go from there. I mean, in this one volume, I mean, you learn that one of them is really into making, you know, action figures or at least collectibles, and that.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, yeah. You get that Akira is the tough girl cosplayer. You got that, right?
Got that.
Paige is the hacker.
Got that.
And the other guy is just there.
Yeah, and I got all that, and I really couldn't give a shit less about these people. Honestly.
So nothing was compelling about it at all to you?
No, not really. I told you it was a bore to slog through.
Well, did you like the art at least?
I don't know if it was the subject matter. Yeah, the art was fine. I liked the art. It was detailed. I mean, I was kind of happy with it. Mm-hmm. No real complaints there. I can take anime art. You know, I've watched some anime.
Okay.
I don't really sound sure of myself in this. But anyway, the art was not the issue.
I think. I mean, I know that Japan exists as a country, right?
Yeah, the art was not the issue. Okay. It's just the story was the issue for me.
All right.
So, I just felt like it wasn't. Nothing was important. You know, you got to the introduction of all the characters. Mm-hmm. And then we got to that point where they say, let's join forces, ha ha, and create the world's greatest company ever. And they kind of started rattling off ideas, but they didn't really say what exactly their company was going to do other than make this little widget, which I guess you could equate to one of them dancing strippers on your desktop.
Basically.
But it's a dolphin that talks.
Yeah, well, it's a thinking AI. That's the way that they put it. And one of these days I want you to sit down – And again, I doubt you will, considering you didn't like this so much, but there was a live-action TV show called Akihabara Deep, which is sort of taken from this, but the characters are completely different and the plot's almost completely different. Like, there's maybe like 2% of this manga in it. There's also novels, which I haven't had a chance to read yet. I don't even know which story is based on what. They could have changed a lot for the manga, for all I know, because I was going into this expecting one thing, and the manga gave me something else. I enjoyed it enough to like it, but I still definitely like the TV show better. So I'd be curious to see if you like the television show Akihabara deep better than this, because that's just like a straight comedy.
It wasn't like I'm trying to think if it was just the hacking element that I didn't care about, but I've seen hacker movies and they're kind of interesting. You know, I'm a nerd, so I guess it'd be all right. You know, it's just I didn't really feel I got anything out of it. So once they introduced this thinking AI dolphin thing, this other guy from this other company shows up and is hacking into their system or whatever, and you know, they had this thing where Chase puts in the lollipop in his mouth and goes into super hack mode and jumps into it like the Matrix or something. But to me, that should have been explained more. Does he have superpowers? Is he tapping into the computer? Is it just some manga effect?
It's a manga effect. I don't think it goes any farther than that. I think it's just them trying to say, oh, he's that good, he can basically see the code in front of him.
All right. Well, I kind of thought of that. Anyway, so he steals their dolphin, basically, and then the whole rest of the book is about this guy making this figurine of this girl that ends up not fucking him. And then they... Then they go, oh, we have 3 days to reconfigure our dolphin and get it out before the other thing. And it kind of ends or something like that. You didn't even find if they're successful. And then, it ends before they even finish it. And let's go. We have 3 days left. And then they're wearing like Final Fantasy costumes on the last page. What's the phrase? Not jump the shark. Jumped in the fridge when you had a nuclear explosion.
Thank you, Indy.
I don't know. It felt really disjointed. Is it going to be about a dolphin? Is it going to be about figurines?
Well, I think it's going to be – well, it's more about them trying to – and you know, I doubt you're going to get this concept.
I understand that. It's about them trying to be a company and earn some respect because – they're nerds or whatever.
Well,
not
just that, but they're also protecting their town of Akihabara, you know, the nerd capital of the world, from this, you know, big corporate intrusion that's going on.
How? Where was that in this fucking book?
That's what I got out of it, man.
You've seen the TV show. I read this for the first time and did not get that this company had any threat to the town whatsoever. They said it was a big conglomerate. So it was kind of implied that, well, since the American culture is anyway, you know, big conglomerates are bad and they don't care about the little guy. So that was kind of implied, but never did they outright say this company is bad. It's just a bunch of guys in black suits wearing sunglasses and the leader of the company sucks lollipops just like Paige does.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I didn't see any threat at all. So that's probably why I didn't really give a shit. You know, to me, I understood them racing to get it done because he actually did steal their intellectual property. Not that they could prove it.
Yeah.
Not that they knew it for sure. They just wanted to get it out there before he could to make money or something.
Because who do you trust, Linux or Microsoft?
Right. Well, Microsoft, I don't know any Linux products.
Yeah.
I've never used it. Never been exposed to it. So I trust Microsoft. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? But never did that company seem like any threat at all. Mm-hmm. So really, I felt like I was just going through the book, just going through the motions. Didn't get invested in the story at all, you know?
Eh. I can't win them all.
No, you're not.
Well, I say in advance that I didn't like Azrael.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I know.
It's Fabian Nicieza Rising.
I know.
It's been killer on Robin. And did you read that last issue of Robin and that guy's in the Suit of Sorrows and shit?
Yeah.
Or was that Detective Comics? I don't know which one it was.
Well, wait, that wasn't Nicieza in Detective. So I think must have been Robin. Well, didn't the last issue, spoilers, didn't the last issue of Robin end with Robin in the Red Robin suit?
Yeah, it wasn't Robin.
Okay.
I think it was Detective or Batman.
Well, Batman wasn't in Siesta, though. That was Neil Adams.
No, that's not there yet.
Okay.
Neil Gaiman, you mean?
No, Neil Adams issue.
Denny O'Neill.
Denny O'Neill. Yeah, that's the
one. Right, but in that last issue, there's some guy in the suit of sorrows or something, yeah. And I'm thinking that's Azrael.
That's a possibility. Yeah, that's certainly a possibility. Well, look, all right, let's go back one more role here, and say that I can understand why this might not be your cup of tea. However, I don't want you to write off manga entirely as a genre because of this one thing. Because, again, this was your first try, right?
Uh-huh.
So there might be manga that are better suited for you out there. I was basically just throwing a hat out there because I knew about Akihabara Deep. I was expecting something. Got something a little different than what I was expecting, but at least I got something out of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you didn't. I mean, I would certainly recommend still trying something like maybe Monster or Death Note or hell, even Hellsing.
Again, is it going to get 20 minutes into the film and then end in one volume and then I got to go get another?
Well, Death Note is the type of thing that there's enough story going on where you're going to want to pick up the next volume. And that's it. With manga, you either want to pick up the next volume or you don't. You know?
I definitely don't.
Yeah, I know. You definitely don't with this. Either you get sucked in after one volume. It's just like reading, you know, four issues of a comic. Are you going to get the full story out of four issues of a comic if it's a six-issue arc?
No.
Exactly. One volume of a comic book, I mean, one volume of a manga, if it's a 12-volume manga, you're only getting 1/12 of the story.
No, see, you're selling me 100 and how many pages is this? 200 pages of story, and you're telling me that you can't give me a small adventure in the overall scope?
Because manga,
that's bullshit to
but
me.
Manga is broken up more like chapters. That's what I'm saying. It's broken
I
up
realize
a lot more
that,
like chapters than actual like American comic books are, which is why you might not be used to that and why you didn't like this. That's what I'm saying. All right, I might be explaining it wrong, but I am saying, though, that you probably will like something like Death Note better because you do get at least somewhat of a complete story out of a volume out of that. You know, you might be left on a cliffhanger like at the end of a comic issue, but it's a cliffhanger you actually want to continue reading. You know?
Yeah, not, oh, let's go put on Final Fantasy costumes and program the shit out of a dolphin and we have 3 days left.
I must say, when you put it like that, it does sound a little ridiculous. Let's go.
Wait, I'm sorry. They didn't put it on. They said, oh, we have to program the shit out of our dolphin in 3 days left. Let's go play Warcraft. What the fuck, man? Let's go play Warcraft. We got a programming to do.
They wanted to go find Yui.
It's like me going, oh, I have finals next week and my final report for my airplane design is due. Let's go play Halo. That'll help me.
Well, if you thought that the person who had all the answers to your upcoming test was on World of Warcraft, and the only way to get in touch with them was via World of Warcraft, wouldn't you go on World of Warcraft?
No, I'd look them up on Facebook and get their address and knock down their door. And
yes, say, they don't have Facebook.
Come to the real world, asshole.
They don't have Facebook. Or Twitter. Or LiveJournal. Or MySpace.
This is Japan. They're ahead of the game and everything.
Not always. You'd be surprised. All right. Let's end this before we drive everybody insane, all right? You obviously give it a zero, I assume, right?
Yeah. Needless to say, next time there's any sort of gift exchange on the forums, this is first thing you're getting.
All right.
So if you don't like manga and you sound like you didn't want to like this either, pray you don't get my name. Or if you bought it with us and you didn't like it, pray you don't get my name.
Oh.
Or if you bought it and you liked it, pray you don't get my name.
Pray
I don't get your name, because I'm going to send it to you, and I won't know if you have it or not, because, you know, we don't get any real feedback on these things going, hey, this is great. Oh, I like this, or hey.
We did for the last episode, and that's why I was happy. But please, if you did read Akihabara Deep and you liked it more than Brent, please let us know. I'm going to give it a 3.5. I liked it. It wasn't the best thing in the world. I'll probably pick up Volume 2. The art was good. It reminded me of Larry Stroman in places, but if Larry Stroman was drawing this as opposed to X-Factor, I'd probably like Larry Stroman a little better.
Whoa. What?
Well, in the eyes. That's what I thought of. In the eyes, I thought Larry Stroman. In the backgrounds, since they were actually drawn, I sure as hell didn't think of Larry Stroman. That's the one comparison on the art that I would get, because I've never seen this guy before, you know, the guy who drew this. So I was trying to, like, piece things together in my head, and that's what I thought when I thought the art. Call me crazy, whatever. 3.5.
I don't read X Factor, so I can't compare.
Well, if and when you do read X Factor, you'll notice that things go from very, very clean-cut art to something that looks a little manga-ish.
Well, why would I want to read that, then, if you're putting it down? I've heard people bitching about that art, so why would I want to go and read it now?
Well, the story's still good. Moving on.
But it's a Peter David book. It's going to end soon.
You know, this might be the one Peter David book that doesn't get canceled at least for another 50 issues. Because it's actually still selling, which is surprising. All right, you want to do a book that you actually liked next?
Yeah, but we'll have to wait till next month.
Oh, ouch. You didn't like either of these. That's not a good sign.
Well, I mean, not to say I hated them. Just
well, fine. Your pick of what we talk about next, sir.
Let's go Green Arrow. That'll be a short one.
All right, good, because very little happened today. Green Arrow, Black Canary.
Yeah, Green Arrow, what I thought.
Green Arrow, Black Canary, number 15. The new writer comes onto the book. Mike Norton stays on. However, and I don't know if you're going to agree or disagree with this, but I thought there was a major shift in the art.
Reading it the second time, I will agree with you.
This looks more like Mike Norton. I mean, I know that you were bitching about the whole, like, trying to be what's the name of the other guy? The guy who used to draw Green Arrow, Black Canary?
Cliff Chang.
Yeah, Cliff Chang. He was trying to be Cliff Chang. Now I think he's got out much more of his actual Mike Norton style in this than he did previously. Andrew Kreisberg is the writer. Yosef Rubinstein is inker. Swans on letterer. And David Barron is the colorist. So, yeah, I mean, do you think this is more along the lines of a other Mike Norton book?
Yeah.
Good. Does that mean you enjoyed it?
I enjoyed it the first time, but the second time I realized there's not much here.
Yeah.
For a big debut issue of the new writer, it was kind of left me wanting. Half the book was narrative captions and flashback, and then he gets rid of the whole supporting cast. Great. Make me want to come back and read the next issue.
Yeah. Here's things I hate. Well, actually, yeah, let me go down my list of things that I hate about new writers coming onto a book. Number one, when instead of playing with your previous writer's sandbox, you decide to scrap it all, have them all move to Cleveland, and play with two characters in the book. Yeah, no. Okay? Case in point, when Judd Winnick, you know, it always comes back to him, doesn't it? When Judd Winnick left Green Lantern, back when he was doing Kyle on Green Lantern, and what was it, Bob Mars or Roz or whatever the hell his name is, Ben Roz or Raze or whatever, I can't think of his name all of a sudden because I'm really flaking out here. When he broke up Jade and Kyle, like the next issue, Ben Robb, thank you, Ben Robb. When Ben Robb broke up Jade and Kyle stupidly for no reason whatsoever because he didn't want to play in Judd Winnick's sandbox, that pissed me off.
And now no. He didn't just break him up. He sent Kyle into space or whatever, or had Kyle come back from space, only to find out Jade had moved on to fucking another guy.
Yeah.
You have a fucking ring, bitch. Go find him if you're that fucking horny.
Uh-huh. Tell me about
it. You go super speed. Super duper fast speed.
Yeah.
Or tell me you can't send a hologram and say, hey, let's rendezvous on this romantic planet next week for some nookie.
Ooh.
Hey. She wasn't putting the work in, so fuck her. I'm glad she's dead.
Ooh, ow. Holy crap, man. That is pretty heavy. Alan Scott's going to go kick your ass.
He's an old geezer. Fuck him. I'll steal his Alzheimer drugs. That's how he's staying young.
Denny Crane. Yeah, well, and like sometimes it does work, the whole like shift. Like, I'll give you an example. When Dan Slott was writing She-Hulk versus when Peter David was writing She-Hulk, of course it got canceled because it's a Peter David book, but
it's true.
but you know,
come on, look at what happened to that book. Dan Slott's writing it. Dan Slott's writing it. Canceled, bring it back. Canceled, bring it. Oh, yeah, we like this book, but we're only going to let it run 12 issues so we can relaunch it with a new number one every year. Yeah!
Yeah!
Well, whoa, that way it'll sell a little bit better. Dan Slott leaves for Spider-Man. Who should we get to write this book? It's on his last leg. Oh, Peter David. Oh, you're not doing anything. Dark Tower. Yeah, it's limited series. It'll eventually be canceled when it's over. So, you know, I mean, you want an ongoing book? Yeah, of course you do. Come over here. Yeah, we're going to let you write 7 issues and then, well, you know what happens to your monthly books. Come on. it's a miracle X Factor still going. Pete. But hey, you should thank us because we're still paying you. So,
Brent, you need to record that and you need to send it to Marvel, and they should just play that every time Peter David gets on a book.
It should be the voicemail message on Joe Quesada's phone anytime Peter David calls. Oh shit, Peter David's calling me. Quick, play that voicemail from that Spark podcaster.
Hey, Peter, how you doing, man? Yeah, we're going to put you on a book and then cancel it. So we'll see you later, man. All right, bye. But
be glad we're paying you for it.
But yeah, I mean, Dan Slott's whole, you know, lawyer thing was working for me.
Stephen King.
Oh, dear God, man. Let me out of a sentence out. Jesus Christ.
All right, head.
Sorry.
Oh, breaking news. Watchmen settled.
Oh, sweet. Excellent.
But by the time this comes out, it'll be old news. But hey, breaking news, we're doing it.
Yes.
We don't know what the settlement is, but we know it probably involves a large sum of money.
And more cowbell. Dan Slott's whole thing from going lawyer to Peter David with the Bounty Hunter thing, that worked for me. Because it still at least was She-Hulk, and she was still acting like She-Hulk. I don't like this whole, all of a sudden, Mia really needs to go to London. And that your recently out of a coma son has to go find himself. Yeah, no. Just no. I mean, the issue was okay. You know, it was far from the best Green Arrow Black Canary I've ever read, but that just pissed me off, man. I mean, are you a Connor fan? Are you a Mia fan? Are you sad to see them go?
I'm sad to see Mia go. Bitch was hot. No, I mean, I had grown to like her over the issue, and I thought that, you know, with the title change to Green Arrow and Black Canary to reflect the not only the marriage but the family aspect of the book, right? Mm-hmm. Because the cast got bigger and people started, you know, Winnick just realized everybody's in my fucking Green Arrow book. I should just call it Green Arrow and Black Canary and be the whole damn family.
Right, yeah.
And then Winnick leaves so he can ruin Titans some more, and they bring on this guy who's like, fuck the purpose of this book.
Wait a minute. Jericho's supposed to be a mute? Fuck it. Let him talk.
Yeah.
But I
need to drop Titans, but I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah. And Kreisberg, I think, takes the title name of Green Arrow and Black Canary a little too seriously.
Well, I'm fine with them going in a grittier direction. I did enjoy that. Because frankly, I'd been a little bored with the not bored. I had been bored, but felt like the damn story was going on too long. I mean, it was 14 issues for one big long arc, the right. Judd Winnick stuff.
Yeah.
I felt it could have been a whole lot shorter.
Well,
at least the Connor thing was long. You know, we found Ollie in like the fourth issue in that thing, but the Connor thing, oh my God, it was like, pull it out. It's like, you know, pulling on Plastic Man's arm would never stops.
this wouldn't have been like, you know, Captain America. They wouldn't have gone, you know, 14 to like 25 issues.
No, where, Captain where it's America Green Arrow. Was a 13 issue story arc. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, but still, I mean, you know, you can't go with a title called Green Arrow and Black Canary. You can't not have Green Arrow in it for 20 issues. And
they
expect
had a Green Arrow, and he could have stayed dead for 20 issues.
And what? Just have Connor be the Green Arrow?
He's Green Arrow. She's Black Canary.
That's true.
It's not like he took up a new name.
Yeah. Although I'm sure now he will, considering Judd had to make Connor forget he was an archer.
Yeah, that was kind of dumb.
That was lame, man. That was really lame. But let's talk about the issue at hand here, okay? Minus the whole, you know, out of the picture thing with the supporting cast. We're back with, you know, Green Arrow and Black Canary just as a duo like they were years ago. You had the little recap at the beginning and all that jazz. And they go and fight a dude. And in the process, Black Canary should probably watch her Sonic Scream a little more.
I'm sorry, what were you saying? I'm looking at Black Canary's camel toe on the cover.
Okay.
Why does she have that stripe in the middle? Come on, she's smarter than that.
Note to self, let Brent's girlfriend listen to this episode. But, yeah, well, no, the whole, you know, Sonic Scream thing, everything's great, everything's super, yeah, hey, don't you usually only use that in really bad circumstances? Well, he was coming at me with a knife. Oh, yeah, I guess that was pretty bad. Want pizza? Okay, sure. And,
no, let's go home and fuck.
Yeah, and then, of course, they don't realize that the person whose wall she busted with the sound,
just busted his eardrums, and he's probably an accomplished violinist.
Yes.
I hope that comes back to beat them in the ass.
I hope he becomes a villain named the Violinist.
He could be the Pied Piper?
That was done already.
Isn't there a violinist villain somewhere?
There's a fiddler. I don't know if there's ever been a violinist, but there's definitely been a fiddler.
Okay. I thought there was some villain that played a fiddle or violin.
Yeah, fiddle, yes. But, you know, a violin is different than a fiddle.
Oh, yeah, it's bigger.
So, okay, is this something that you want to read month in and month out with Kreisberg on the writing?
It was a nice change. I mean, it was grittier. It's just that I didn't think it was a very strong start for a new writer. I think he should have kicked off an arc or something and got me to come back and read the next one.
Well,
I'm going to wait and assess this book a few more issues in because – you know, overall, this issue was decent. It wasn't bad enough to make me go, oh, this is a piece of crap. I liked the Mike Norton change in art. It actually looks different than Cliff Chang's, which was my main complaint earlier. Still solid art. I can follow it. You know, no complaints there. I am going to give it an extra chance. See what Kreisberg launches into and then assess it from there.
I'm going to give it about 6 issues, I think, because So far, he's missing the concept of the book. And I understand that, you know, with a new writer comes a new concept sometimes, but you were totally right when you said it before, Brent, that Green Arrow and Black Canary was a family book, and it still is a family book. It wasn't just a team-up with Green Arrow and Black Canary. Because just like Batman, Green Arrow has an extended family. And if you take the family out of the book, it goes back to being Green Arrow again because Black Canary.
Take the family out of the book. Eventually, you know, his back gets broken, and then you have a long hiatus of drawn out events between the other sister books, and then Grant Morrison comes on, smokes a little crack, eats some drywall, and then, you know, ends up doing what he did to the character.
Smoking some drywall.
No, eating drywall. He smoked some crack.
All right. So
some shrooms, acid.
Well,
maybe he stuck some steroids in his butt too. I don't know.
In his condition, though, who knows? He could have been smoking drywall and eating crack. I mean, you never know.
He could have been drinking steroids.
It's very possible. But I'm going to give it 6 issues. It was okay. It wasn't the best thing in the world. I agree. The art change was nice, and at least they seem like they were in character. Green Arrow and Black Canary, that is, because Mia and Connor totally weren't. But
it was just a little weaker than, like, let's say, Booster Gold when the last issue when Dan Jurgens took over as writer. Yes. Felt like the same damn book. I was thinking about dropping that book, and I read that issue. I was like, that's it. I'm keeping this book. It's still good.
And by the way, congratulations, sir, on completely scaring John Carroll into thinking that Booster Gold was canceled.
What?
Okay, in preparation for an episode we're going to be doing later on, Mr. Cassina added as the last thing he said, yes, I can't wait to talk about Booster Gold being canceled.
If you're listening to Raging Bullets, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yes. And John Carroll then tweets me later in the day, what the hell was Brent saying about Booster Gold being canceled?
He tweets you, so he came over and grabbed your nipples.
Tweet, as in Twitter.
I know, but it sounds so bad. Yes, it sounds yes, like you're yes. tweet you're tweaking, like tweaking your nipples or something.
Oh yes, but
oh, you know that's going in the front this time.
No. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
After the last comment we got, where when it's like, no, Raph, don't take over comic timing.
You know what? It's going to sound really nice when it's like, no. And then it just, you have you going, oh, yes. Oh, I can't wait.
And auditions for a new co-host begin next week, folks. So
yes, but he's going to have 5 different shows, and it's going to be, you know, once a month or whatever, and then we're going to have a vote off, and then
not
we're going to
really
actually
rap.
Do it.
I'm not
but
really
it's going
to
take us 3 years to do it.
Hey, that's totally happening soon, I swear, all right? I swear. Soon. Swear.
Right.
So let me finish what I was going to say, goddammit, and just say that I'm hoping it gets better. I'm going to give it, I guess, a 3. Middle of the road.
I'll give it the same, 3.
Okay, all right. But not dropping it at least in the next couple of issues or so, but you never know what's going to happen down the road. All right. I've started every other talk so far this episode, so...
All right, so you want me to take over. So, Secret Invasion Dark Reign. Well, if you want to know more about that, go and listen to Comic Timing episode 81, because I'm sure they talked about it for 3 hours on that. So
no, we did not talk about that for 3 hours. We talked about Secret Invasion as a whole for 3 hours. We didn't talk about Jean Renault Namor in that episode. Don't worry.
You didn't talk about looking forward to 2009?
No, we did look.
Dark Reign?
No, we did talk about looking forward to 2009 Dark Reign, but we didn't talk about Secret Invasion Dark Reign that much.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, well, I guess we can go then.
Because I knew that we were talking about it in this episode, you know, the review corner that I do with you, Brent.
But you're letting that that crazy Asian kid intrude upon our space.
Sometimes he just never leaves.
We got rid of him for MegaCon this year. Just kidding, Raph.
Or are we? Yeah, no. Actually, we are. But yeah. So, Secret Invasion: Dark Reign. Thoughts?
I don't know, Ian. What did you think?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Okay. Usually, I'm a fan of Alex Maleev, and I even stuck up for him in the thread that was posted on the forums in response to this. The comic forums, the main CGS forums, had a thread stating
the much
that,
more active forum.
Yes, the much more active forum. thank you for putting it so bluntly, by the way. that Alex Maleev is the worst artist ever, and this was the very, very, very over anxious Titans Together. I love you, buddy, but you were a little off on that. But there are many, many worse artists. Just look at the Obama cover for Youngblood, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But, yeah.
Hey, Eric Larson is an Image founder, goddammit. That means he must have had some talent in him in the 90s, otherwise he wouldn't have sold so many comic books.
I'm not talking about Eric Larson. I'm talking about Rob Liefeld. I'm talking Youngblood, not Savage Dragon, dude. Savage Dragon's okay with me. Obama's on the cover for issue 8 of Youngblood. Look it up. You'll see what I'm talking about.
I thought Derek Donovan was doing that.
Yes, but Liefeld did the cover.
Oh, we should do a Mercury and the Murd cover with Obama on it.
Yes. Yes, they totally should. It would sell gangbusters.
I have 2 black guys.
We love you, Sean. All right. Let me make sure that it is indeed Youngblood.
I'm looking it up. It's Liefeld. You're right. Okay. You're right. And number 8.
Yeah.
It's a scary looking Obama.
Yeah. Doesn't it look like he's through like a fisheye lens?
Ah, damn.
His nose is protruding, seriously protruding.
Yeah, but, I think he's a little too far on the. Oh, I gotta draw a black nose. Yeah.
I mean, the only bad thing about the art in this really was the way he drew Namor, because that's not how you draw Namor. That looked very much like a cross between Al Bundy and Jean Renault. In fact,
I don't know. I would take issue with Norman Osborn as well, if not Loki. Loki looks like some strung out cocaine hooker from Vegas.
And how's that different than she usually looks?
Because Olivier Coipel makes her look hot.
Ah, okay. Norman's hair didn't look nearly as curly as it should.
Well, he should have the part down the middle like he did in the cover.
Yes, like John Constantine.
No, really, I think the cover is the best part of the book.
It is, yeah. He probably drew that at a different part. I assume he probably drew that separately.
I'm sure, because Namor looks like Namor.
Yes.
Almost like he's drawn him before in like the Illuminati special.
I don't know. Maybe the art on this was rushed. I mean, maybe Maliv wasn't the original artist on this. I mean, I'm grasping at straws here. Seriously,
I'm sure he was. Come on,
he's never drawn like this before.
It's Talking Heads book. It's Bendis.
Well,
it's ending Bendis's event.
Okay,
you know,
but compare it to the way that his art usually looks. And I mean, like, compare it to the way it's looked on other Bendis Maliv properties and projects, like the Illuminati special.
Yeah, but that Illuminati special had flashbacks and flash forwards, and they actually went places in that rather than just sat in the meeting the whole damn issue. There were things that happened in that issue. Here, it's like, I'm glad this is a one shot and not a miniseries, because it would have read six issues of people appearing. You know, first issue would have been everybody appears, there's a god in the room, bum bum bum, Loki shows up, end issue one. And then end issue two would have been the door creaking open to see a black silhouette, bum bum bum.
Well, okay, we'll get to the black silhouette, we will, but what I want to know is why Emma Frost is so upset about a dead cat.
Well, I'm upset that Bendis is trying to shoehorn in the timing of Astonishing X-Men into his event. Well, at least that's the way I took it. Why does he start off with this kitty crap? He could have just started off with her laying in bed.
Yeah. Well, and why, of all things, okay, I understand that Emma Frost is trying to fit in and everything, but her and Kitty never got along, ever. Ever. So why is she so upset about it now? I mean, does she think it was her decision that made Kitty go away? I don't think so. That was all on Ms. Pride. Thank you very much.
I don't know. And then the last half of the book just felt really disjointed, and that's where the art falls apart.
Okay. Well, okay. Give me your full thoughts on the issue, all right? Because I think I've made mine pretty well known. But yeah. And what
it was okay? It did not get me as hyped and pumped up for Dark Reign as I thought it should have.
Okay. So, you wanted to be at level 10 and this only put you at about level 7?
No, it put me at level 4.
Ooh, ouch.
And I think, you know, when it would have been cool if, you know, Norman says, you'll find out what happens to Avengers next week, and Dark Avengers comes out the next week or whatever, not next month.
Right.
Because, really, once that hits, then we'll know what the fuck's going on. But until that, it's still kind of like we're left in the dark, you know? The initiative came out. That initiative special hit. Boom. You knew what's going on. And then every other book after that, like clockwork, boom, 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 starting the initiative. Let's go. Full force here. It seems like Dark Reign's taking a while to trickle on.
Right.
Before we know what's truly going on.
Well, and Dark Avengers starts up, what, next week?
Yeah, next week.
Okay, all right.
And this has been out almost a whole month.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we're first covering it now, yeah. I think that, too, like, I'm, you know what I'm reminded of the most? The first couple of pages of Avengers Disassembled, where the Avengers were just sitting at the table BSing and talking about, you know, Hawkeye's ability to have sex, you know? It felt so out of place, and then the action kicked in. There was no action to counterbalance the sitting in this issue.
Yeah.
And Bendis cannot carry an entire issue of just sitting there. He cannot. It's not a strong suit.
Well, if Spider-Man were in there cracking witty jokes, maybe he could, but he doesn't have Spider-Man to fall back on.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, there have been actionless issues of New Avengers or Mighty Avengers that I've really enjoyed. It's just... there was something to counterbalance. And
well, usually Bendis's books have a little, at least the mainstream Marvel ones have a little bit of humor in it. I mean, even the original Illuminati special didn't have much humor in it. Mm-hmm. You know, but that had gravitas. Something was going on. Things were changing. Here, we already know what the change is. That one, we were just kind of like going into it not knowing what the fuck's going to happen.
Well, and most importantly, he didn't capitalize on something very, 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 very key. I'm looking at the first page where Norman, you know, is introducing himself, reintroducing himself and stuff. He's like, okay, it's a new day. So listen carefully. Why couldn't he have just said, okay, it's a brand new day? Come on, he's Norman Osborn. His whole life got changed by it. All right, all right. But yeah, it could have been better. And I'm sad right now, you know, because this is the first time, seriously the first time, I've been somewhat disappointed by a Bendis issue. You know, almost every other issue, almost every other event that Bendis has started like leaps and bounds for me. Like I'm barreling in. Like the middle might be a little weak, hell, the end might be a little weak, but the beginning is always so strong that I cannot wait. And the way that Secret Invasion ended, I was waiting for the next step to see where Norman was going. And this issue doesn't do anything. You could not read this issue and just pick up Dark Avengers and you'd be okay. That's where I am. It's forgettable.
Yeah, and why do we kill the swordsman in this issue? I thought it was about the Dark Illuminati.
Oh, and don't even get me started on that, because number one, the swordsman was out of character. We're going back to out of character here, because I know we're just talking about on Green Arrow by Canary, but swordsman was out of character to the way he was portrayed all the way throughout Warren Ellis's and even Andy Diggle's runs on Thunderbolts. And Christos Gage also. I mean, he was all about his sister, and that's about as far as he went. You know, as long as Norman was to present his sister at some point, he would have been okay. And now he gets into Norman's face saying, no, where does this leave me, blah, 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 blah. It just doesn't feel like something that the swordsman would have done. So, yeah, I'm peeved. And now we're without
because
Crazy Swordsman. Because
such a popular character that he has his own series and you know a lot about his character.
If you read Thunderbolts, you do. He was a big part of the Thunderbolts team for the last, like, 20 issues. You know? That's
I'd never heard of the guy until he joined the fucking Thunderbolts.
Well, he was in the Thunderbolts before he was on the Thunderbolts, too.
Good for him.
And the... Well, wait, I forget. No, that's not the same swordsman that there used to be, because I know there used to be a different swordsman, but... And what do you think about the other stuff that was in this issue, like the previews for other series?
Oh, you mean half of Dark Reign New Nation?
Thank you.
That's what that was. Two out of four stories.
Well, okay.
All right, maybe not all of the things from Dark Reign, but pretty much half of the stories that were in Dark Reign are in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. I like Dark Reign New Nation. I even got into it a little bit on the last episode we did.
I thought it was okay. It wasn't great. I'm glad Heroes Corner gave it to me for free, though, because I would have been disappointed if I spent money on it.
Yes. Yes, exactly. But and that's the way a jumping on book like that is supposed to be, because, you know, remember stuff that DC did to try and get you to jump onto books. They were always like 99 cents or a dollar or something like that to make you want to read it. And that was $3.99, Dark Reign New Nation.
Wow, thanks God for Heroes Corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, look.
Get your fucking comics.
That, yes, remember, that is Heroes Corner's slogan.
Get your unofficial. Comics. Unofficial.
Unofficial. Get your fucking comics. I don't know.
When Green Goblin is talking to Norman Osborn in his head on the last two pages, this does not look like Alex Maleev. This looks Alex Maleev storyboarded it and Paul Pope came in and tried to mimic Alex Maleev, especially that last, the very, very last page. Tell me that does not look like Paul Pope.
It does kind of look like Paul Pope. And what the hell is up with that look on his face?
Oh, no.
He looks like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone.
I forgot to shave! Dr. Luke's not going to be scared of me anymore! Oh, no!
He looks like he could be a freaking lolcat with that face. You know? Like take the balloon out and make it like Norman Osborn is thirsty, you know? And go that way.
But, must have beer. No. Take it out and put it up. We're out of beer! Oh, no!
Shit. And, okay.
In the previous two pages are Swordsman going, hey, Normie, we're out of beer. What? I don't know what you're talking about. Dude. I told you we're out of beer.
Yet again.
No, not.
Yet again, talented people out there, you need to do this.
Fine, I'm throwing you out the window.
I can't believe I did that. He was going to get me beer.
And then he turns and looks, where's the beer? Me, where's the beer? Where's the beer? Oh, no. He was right. We are out of beer.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. But
would have been a lot better.
Yeah. And wasn't Norman sort of out of character there, too, with the whole talking to himself thing?
I don't know. I don't read Thunderbolts.
Yeah, screw you. Well, people who read Thunderbolts can back me up on that a little bit. And yet again, if you have talent, go in there and manipulate. Look, Doctor Doom and Namor, I'm looking forward to that dynamic because they still sort of have a treaty thing going from the past. You know, do you see them perhaps turning on Norman at some point?
Yes, because it's the only way this could be really interesting.
Yeah, and same thing with Emma, right?
Yeah, I think I figured out who the silhouette is.
If you say Phoenix, I'm going to kick you.
The Sentry.
Okay.
Because the Sentry's on the Dark Avengers, according to the preview art.
Right. Yes. No, he is.
So, and it looks like in the one panel where the door is almost completely open, it looks like some long-haired dude. So I'm calling the Sentry. But I don't know why Loki should be scared of the Sentry.
Well, that's why I don't think it's the Sentry. I think it's... I don't know. It's got to be something huge. And I don't know if the Sentry is huge.
Well, Bendis has been trying to make him huge for a long time and just keeps getting smaller and smaller.
That's what she said.
I set you up for that.
Well, hold on. Let me... Like, I'm reading a dialogue here. Let's see. Where is the dude? Yeah, here we go. Yeah. Yes. Well, I wasn't done with that point. In such cases, one of you turns on me or each other in payment for the kindness I have shown towards you. I have my friend. Yeah. All right. Screw it. I'm going Sentry.
Yeah. Kindness I have shown towards you by making you all come to my meeting and threaten you.
Yes. For Norman Osborn, that's kind of kindness.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm ending it with these thoughts right here, okay? Namor and Doctor Doom are going to be a part of the crossover to follow Dark Reign. I'm calling that here, all right? And if Emma Frost goes bad again, I quit the X comics. Because that's like the last thing other than like Cat Beast that Grant Morrison has left in his name. And to go back on like 5 years of continuity and just get rid of, you know, Emma as a nice person, or at least trying to be a nice person, is gonna peeve me. Okay? And Loki is saying Loki, who cares? It's nice to see the hood there though. You know, because Bendis likes him a lot.
Isn't Bendis Jewish? I thought they cut off the hood.
Now that I've been thoroughly disturbed, what do you give the issue?
3.
We are seriously not going threes across the board, man.
All right. 2.5.
Great, go lower. Fine.
You didn't have to fucking pick a 3.
I'm going three.
See, we're not going threes across the board. You have to change your score because I'm the host.
All right, fine. We both go three for this one.
Two and a half. I don't want to give it a three.
Okay. I mean, were there other... Oh, and my favorite thing, I read Secret Invasion Requiem on the way home from work today. Or should I say I read the 8 pages of story in between reprints in Secret Invasion Requiem.
Yes, but they were also nicely recolored reprints.
Oh, yes, they very much were for $3.99.
Yeah, we got fucked on that one.
Yes, we did. But hey, at least now we know that Hank Pym is getting a sex change.
So what does that do for him and Tigra?
Did you read The Initiative?
Yes, and Typhoid Mary, come on! Phoenix, goddammit, I told you before! Typhoid Mary never had telekinetic powers.
Hey, suck it.
They listened to the episode and changed it.
Yes, exactly. That's totally what happened, because people listen to our show.
There's a couple people on the forum.
Yeah, I know, but people at Marvel listen to our show. Yeah, you can't back out of that one.
People on the forum.
Yes.
Joe Quesada could be tending to be Black Scarf with the Dr. Fate logo. You'd never know. You'd never guess that was Joe Quesada because he's Black Scarf, and I've never seen Quesada wear a scarf, and Dr. Fate's not a Marvel character.
Yeah, and Alexander B is, you know, way too intelligent to be a 17-year-old, so I'm just going to go with he's actually Joe Quesada in disguise.
Yeah. Almost like Stephen Hawking being on our forum, you know?
Baby. speaking of Alex, by the way, we have a promo to play right now.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alec Berry, and I'm here to tell you to check out my podcast, Teenage Wasteland. Now, you're probably wondering, why do we need another comic book podcast? Well, here's the reason. Most shows can run an hour to an hour and a half. That can be a good bit of time for some people. But if you're looking for something quick, if you're looking for something on your little short commute to work, how about this? A 25-minute show hitting quite a variety of topics. Anything from your quote-unquote mainstream books, such as Marvel and DC, all the way down to your independent. Plus, I believe I offer a unique perspective being a 16-year-old comic book fan. So, to check out the show, go to teenagewastelandpodcast.blogspot.com, or you can go to the iTunes Music Store and search Teenage Wasteland and subscribe there. And you can also check the show out on myspace.com/teenagewastelandpodcast. So, remember, Teenage Wasteland, the podcast connecting all generations of comic book fans.
There are so many things I could do with that. Looking for something short, looking for something on your morning commute.
You perv.
And if he's going to unite the generations, he should have called it Generational Gap.
or if he's going to unite the generations, he should call it Generations Unite.
And then Raph would be up his ass. I understand, Alexander. You have a defined title.
Yeah, no, and he comes really close to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan, but you know it's okay. We didn't trademark that. I'm perfectly fine with it, man.
But we bridge the generational gap when we get guys like Wood on here.
That's very true. You do
because he's old.
There. Yes, he is old. But
Bob and John, those are young guys.
Yeah, right, sure. Alec, man.
Remember, guys, he said it, not me. I still love it.
Alec, Teenage
Wasteland. No, I may not respond to your previews emails all the time, but
hey, I did participate in this month's.
I'm glad somebody's doing it because I always forget.
I got to represent this show somehow.
I feel like I should just go and pick our books.
Well, I did pick, I think like, the last time I did it, I picked one or two of our books because I was just like, hey, I really like these books. You guys should read them too.
And don't forget, we are sponsored by HeroesCorner.com, the best place to get your comic books at a huge discount, mailed directly to your door. HeroesCorner.com, swanky new website, as well as friends of the show. Don't forget to order our comic timing picks for this month: Flash Rebirth number 1, Captain America 70th Anniversary Special, and Warren Ellis' Ignition City number 1 from Avatar Press. And don't forget the Heroes Corner special for this month in celebration of the upcoming X-Men Origins Wolverine movie. They are giving away, not giving away, but they're practically giving away. Check this out. They're giving away a lot of Wolverine comics, including that new Wolverine Weapon X number 1 by Jason Aaron and Ron Garney, the team who brought you Get Mystique previously in the regular Wolverine series, including that, as well as the X-Men or Wolverine Origins one-shot and Weapon X and some other books I can't remember to name because I don't have it up in front of me. Anyway, basically, it's like $25-something of comics, and it's like 5 or 6 comics, and they're giving it to you for it's like around $9, I think I heard on the last episode. So go there and click on that special, because come on, you can't beat that. What other place is going to give you that type of deal? You know, you should just place an order for them from this month just for that reason alone. And the comic timing code is, I don't know, go and listen to episode 81 or episode 83 if it comes out in time, and listen for that, because nobody sent me the email. Anyway, heroescorner.com, swanky new website, great customer service, and homo comic timing on our off days.
Get your fucking comics.
Hey! All right, Sue. Yeah, I think we're basically done with this little episode here. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing else really I can say. Brent, you promised to be on the next episode?
If we're going to talk about canceling Booster Gold, I'm there.
Why do you want to cancel a book that you like?
No, I don't want to cancel it. I just want to talk to Sean and Jim about it before it gets canceled.
It's not getting canceled, please.
Yeah, but I want to talk to Sean and Jim about it. Therefore, according
to
their logic,
canceled.
The Casino Curse is going to get canceled. I mean, look what happened to Blue Beetle.
Oh, yeah. And just so you know, Brent, Azrael's Death's Dark Knight, number 2 is never coming out.
Well, I was thinking, since I'm killing a kitten in March, what should I do for April to top that?
I would go with a bunny.
A bunny. I was thinking a gaggle of puppies.
Oh my god, man!
A couple puppies.
That's going a bit far there. A full gaggle to deal with, man. That's.
All right. Well, not a gaggle. That's geese.
Yeah.
We'll go with 1 kitten for issue number 1.
Mm-hmm.
2 puppies for number 2.
Uh-huh.
2 different breeds.
Uh-huh.
Both really really cute.
Okay.
And then for number 3, I'm gonna kill 3.
Mavericks?
No, not Mavericks.
Mavericks?
I was thinking turtles, but those aren't cuter than puppies.
As long as you name them Leonardo, Donatello, and Michelangelo, people will get pissed at you.
I need something cuter than puppies.
Shrews.
No.
Hamsters?
No.
Gerbils?
I need an upgrade.
Oh, ponies.
Okay, that works. That works. 3 ponies.
I'm killing 3 ponies. I can't believe we're even talking about this. I mean, what is wrong with us, man?
What is wrong with these people for not wanting to buy Azrael Death Dark Knight number 1, available in March, available for 75 cents off HeroesCorner.com?
Oh my god. Do you have any BK's bullets coming up, Brent?
You know, the next one I had in planning was Batman Sword of Azrael for Raging Bullets episode 75, when they're going to talk about all the deaths in the 90s and shit.
Uh-huh.
But we're on episode 140 now.
It doesn't matter. Just still do it anyway, man.
But I was trying to time it out, see? Like how I was trying to time out the Smallville thing, but look how that turned out.
Yes, that's why you should just give it to them, and perhaps by the time they air it, it will be relevant with what they're talking about.
Well, I guess it would be relevant when Battle for the Cow comes out.
Yes, exactly. That's why you should do it. You got any non-DC ones coming out?
Oh, I could do one on Books of Doom.
Hey, There you go. All right. All right. And check it out, RagingBullets.com. And, of course, on the Comic Timing feed, we release those. I swear to God, we're going to get a Geek Speak report out eventually. Patrick and I, our schedules have been ridiculous lately, trying to get on par. First, he had a power outage, and then an emergency came up and all this stuff. So eventually, we're going
to
get this
thing recorded. It sounds like he just doesn't want to talk to you.
No, trust me, he does.
Why don't you just take a hint, you know, and just leave the man alone?
Oh, he certainly does.
And I'll take the number five slot.
When you listen, no, you're not getting that number five slot. I talked to you once a week already. Honestly, when you listen to episode 81, you're going to realize just how much this man talks. He does not shut up. But, eventually we're going to get that recorded. Trust me, it'll happen. And, enjoy episode 83, which will be the DC wrap-up. Because we did the Marvel, we're going to do DC, and all is well with the world, ain't it?
You realize that those people you were doing the Geek Speak Report with, half of them have their own show now because you took so long.
Yes, I know. I totally noticed that, which is why I think Patrick might have to do it by default. All right. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. We're also members of the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. Don't dig us on dig.com since it no longer exists. And please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. They will be graciously appreciated. Please, out of everything you do, iTunes reviews are the most important to actually get the word out about the show. So let people know what you think of Comic Timing. Unless you think it sucks, then you should just do a review for Geeks Unite instead. And as always,
kill kittens.
Kill kittens. There's always time for comics. Kill kittens. I had to put that in there. All right.
You actually remember to do the intro this time.
Yes, I know. Because that last one was great when you tried to like imitate me, man.
I did the best I could. I did it once and I was like, well, that's what it gets for forgetting.
Yeah, I know. I like the pause in the middle and everything. Like,
I'm messing up words and shit.
Welcome to episode 79 of Comic Timing for the comic book fan from the fan of comics. Rotating panel discussion, Ian Levinstein, timing comics.
I'm always
timing
say comics. Panel.
I know.
I didn't say Ian Levinstein.
I noticed. Look at it's the Brink Show. All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, we should. All right, so the picks, the comic timing picks for the month, these are coming out in,
March.
February, March, exactly. And the first pick that we'll talk about is the one that makes you salivate. Now, the way that this works is, like, I got to pick a manga, and that's the one that we're reviewing here. And I guess that was the pick that I was really looking forward to. And then we had the pick that Wrath was really looking forward to, the one that he'll guest star on, because he's been talking about
whoa.
It.
What?
Yeah.
What the fuck is this?
No. It's already official in my brain, because if he doesn't quit bugging me about it now, I'm never going to hear the end of it. He's going to have to at least be there for the review of the Darkhawk issue, just to appease him. Okay.
I was thinking it's the Final Crisis 7, because it's got Superman cover or something.
No.
He's going to apologize for Superman failing to save the universe.
Yeah, he's
a Superman apologist. I was listening to our episodes from last year, actually, and he said he was a Superman apologist. I think I called him that, though.
He,
like,
he still is a Superman apologist.
I know.
But yeah, he got to pick Darkhawk, and this time, Brent gets to pick Azrael, Death's Dark Knight, number 1 of 3. So there will be 3 issues of this.
Yes, I think we should pick him 3 months in a row.
I think we're not, but yeah, it's gonna be Azrael's Dark Knight. Well, perhaps we'll have a secondary pick that won't have an extra discount or anything. Brent will just pretend that we're going to be reviewing it, and then when it all said and done, we go to record the episode. I'll be like, all right, we're doing Azrael's Death's Dark Knight number 2. Ready? And I'm like,
I didn't get that.
What are you talking about?
I tried to do that for Joker, and you hadn't read it.
Well, that's my own damn fault for not reading it in time.
Have you read it yet?
No. sitting there on the shelf with everything else, man. But no, I probably will read Asriel's Death's Dark Knight number 2 when it comes out, because, well, I'll be picking up the entire series. But it's 75 cents on Heroes Corner, 75% off, only $2.99 regular price, which is nice to see. It's a mini series that's $2.99 still, so we get the 75 cents. Nice and snazzy. And
yes, 75 cents. That means go scrape up 75 cents from wherever you can scrape it. I don't know where you keep your change, listeners. And mail it to Bob and Sam and attach a little post-it note saying, Brent said I had to get the Asriel book. And they'll mail it to you.
Yes.
Send 50 more cents for postage. But, so really, you're paying more for postage. But, I mean, you have no excuse not to get this book. And if you don't, if Asriel Death Dark Knight, it does not have the full orders from Heroes Corner. Okay, well, I can't say that because I know other people don't use Heroes Corner, but they should. Anyway, if the orders for Death's Dark Knight are not higher than they should be, I'm going to kill a kitten.
Yes, and the kitten is going to be very sad when he does it, too, so he'll have that like little look on his face like, oh, what a cute... Oh, God, what's he doing to the kitten? It's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, because the kitten's going to go, oh, God, what's he doing to the kitten as I'm doing it?
Yes, exactly. He refers to him in the third person. But yeah. And let's also let people know, yes, there has been a change. They no longer offer free shipping, but that's because shipping prices went up. But on the bright side, they canceled that out by this month offering, this might be a regular thing. I'm not going to put words in their mouth, but all new trades are now 40% off on Heroes Corner. So I guess that's how they're making up for it. But yeah, no more free shipping, but the shipping prices are still the same. It's just, if you order more than $75, you just no longer get free shipping. So, you know, suck it up. X-Force, Cable Messiah War Prologue, which is the one-shot going into the Messiah War, what a concept. This one is written by Craig Kyle and Christopher Yost, with art by Mike Choi. And this is the first X-Book done for Review Corner. I'm surprised it's taken us this long. Are you surprised?
Stop.
I noticed. Are you better now?
Get a drink or something.
Yeah, there you go. I don't want you sounding all raspy like Christy Bale on the episode here, man.
You know, pulling out my quarters now from my quarter holder. And when Ian says it's all right, I'm going to put it on pause and run upstairs and get a drink. But I could use these quarters, and I pulled out an extra 50 cents because it's $1.25 for a drink over here at the soda machine, and I could send them in an envelope to Bob and Sam saying I need another copy.
Brent,
just saying.
Brent, you may go get your drink if you so desire. I don't want you choking.
Finish the ad, and then I'll go.
Fine, then. Okay. X-Force Cable Messiah War Prologue, 50% off on Heroes Corner, only $2, which is much better than $3.99. Thank you very much. So that is the panda. And the other one, and this was your pick, wasn't it? Cape number one?
That was your pick.
It was my pick?
Yeah, I don't know what to pick in the indie things. What? I tried pick one time, and you shot him down.
Whoa, hey. That doesn't mean that I can't, like, say okay to your picks, man. Well, no, I remember you giving me, like, 3 or 4 options. Like, wasn't there, like, Potter's Field and Cape and all those other ones? And then I was...
Oh, yeah. I did pick this one. I gave you a couple from Boom.
Yeah, there you go. And this one looks like it could be pretty interesting. In fact, it's by the South Park guys, or some of the South Park guys, if memory serves. And Cape number one could be pretty fun. It's 50% off, $2, $3.99 regular price. And it's worth $3.99 because it's a indie, so go and support your indies. And there's multiple covers, and that's another good thing about Heroes Corner right now. You can pick whatever cover you want. If you have a preference, you can go in there. Or else you can just say, give me whatever cover you want. But if it's a 50-50 split, you can now choose which cover you get, which another advantage from getting your books at Heroes Corner. Best customer service around, heroescorner.com. And don't forget the product code, the promo code, 5% discount for first-time users this month is Maverick. So make sure to use Maverick as your code. That's Maverick, for those of you who didn't hear me the last time. Maverick.
How do you spell that? You put the two little dots over the A to make it funny sounding?
Yes, actually. You spell it Maverick. That's how you spell it. So make sure to go with it. It's spelled the normal way, like a regular Maverick would spell. Check it out. EurosCorner.com. Best customer service around. And now, we pause a moment as friend Cassina wets his paddock.
I'll be right back.
Okay. God, he sounds like a smoker today. Oh, holy crap. Holy crap, man. Brent Cassina is coughing up a lung on this episode. Since I know that he's going to be the one who's actually doing the editing for this episode, I could just, you know, talk through this, and then he's going to have to worry about actually editing this all back. Of course, it's going to wind up in the back of the episode, but, I figured now would be a good time to talk to you listeners. So, how you guys doing today? How is everything? You know? The kids good if you have them? If you don't have them? How you doing? Everything treating you well in 2009? I'm doing pretty good right now. It's a little cold here. It's about 15 degrees outside, but at least the room is nice and warmish right now. My feet are a little on the chilly side, but it's hard to avoid that. And I'm looking at my table right now, you know, covered in comics and little trinkets and stuff, and I'm just feeling nice and relaxed. Kind of ran out of things to say. Yep. Just sitting here. Talking to myself. I'm an only child, though, so I'm sort of used to that. I'm not going to turn this into a therapy session like Rath does his shows, though. No. No, this is just going to be me talking. Shooting the breeze on smooth jazz. All right. Oh, okay, good. I hear the drink being snapped. It's probably a good sign.
Okay, I have returned.
Good. I was serenading the listeners while you were gone.
Oh, I'm going to keep that in then.
No, you're not going to keep that in. You can put it in the back of the episode perfectly fine. Yeah, keep that shit in. Everyone shut it off. I was almost doing a Rath diatribe, but nah, shit.
Put all the coughs at the end of the episode. it'll be the blooper buffer. It's gonna end the episode and it's gonna go like Yakko Wacko and Dot.
Oh my god.
And then we're actually gonna get to the bloopers. Anyway.
There is something seriously wrong with you. I'm talking to myself right now, I notice. But, it's okay. You know, I'm totally used to it. Yep. Talking to myself. Nobody on the other end. Nobody but me. Yep.
Sorry. Just walked in the room.
That's okay, it's fine. I just felt like talking to myself.
We are done. We just finished.
Yes, I know. You didn't cough nearly as much as I thought you were going to.
Really? I thought I did. Well, I was muting the mic sometimes when I really had to do it.
Okay, that's good. You got a cold coming on?
I've just been hoarse since last Thursday when we won. And I've been talking nonstop for like the past 3 days.
It might be a good idea to just shut up for a while.
You know me. That's not possible.
I totally know. Dude, MechaCon's coming up, man!
Yeah.
Wait.
So we got passes.
Yeah, we got passes. Everything's all confirmed. I called up, and they'll be waiting for us.
Sweet.
Yep. And Brandon gets to get in himself. Fuck you, Brandon. Well, that's what happens when you don't do your own podcast, man. You stopped doing it ages ago.
That is what happens. Exactly.
Yeah. All right, dude. I got work in the morning, so I'm just gonna cut out now. I'll shoot it over to you while I'm sleeping.
Okay.
All right.
Laters.
Laters.
Do you want me to go fucking trash your lights? Do you want me to fucking trash them? Fuck! And what the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
Fuck! And what the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
Fuck! And what the fuck is it with you?
I was looking at the light.
Fuck! And what the fuck?
fucking understand? I'm gonna suck and kick your fucking ass. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna suck and kick your fucking ass. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna suck and kick your fucking ass. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna suck and kick your fucking ass. Think for one fucking second. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. Think for one fucking second. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. Think for one fucking second. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. Think for one fucking second. Second. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna suck and kick your fucking ass. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna suck and kick your fucking ass. What don't you fucking understand? I'm gonna suck and kick your fucking ass. What don't you fucking understand? Give me a fucking answer.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Shut up if you can't take a joke.
You are trashing my scene.
Shut the fuck up, would you?
Fucking ass.